getting to know you.
Whoa.
Getting to know all about
whoa.
You. Getting to like
whoa.
You. Getting to hope you like
whoa.
Me.
Welcome to Getting to Know Woo. I'm Natasha Levenger, a professional intuitive reader, energy healer, and inner child healing expert. After being raised with extreme narcissism, I found talk therapy was helpful, but it wasn't until I found energy and inner child healing that I was able to break free of family patterns that cut me off from knowing and loving my true self. I'm passionate about dispelling the rhetoric that these kinds of tools are impractical and ineffective, and in this podcast, I will be sharing how actually beneficial and transformative they are. My husband and producer, Brett, will be joining me in conversation, and we will be welcoming experts along the way. I'm excited to have you here.
Hey, what is up?
What is up?
Woozening, sir.
Oh, thank God.
You got worried.
I did. I actually thought you might not call them anything.
Oh, no. And why would that be bothersome for you? Bothersome?
Well, because it feels like abandonment.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Of you?
No, of the listener.
Oh, shit. Well, I did not mean that. That is for sure the case.
No. Woozinators, they remain.
Woozination. So today it's I was going to call it, well, a solo podcast between us.
No guest.
And I don't know. I mean, I know exactly what we're going to talk about. I'll just say I lately have been in two minds. I've been feeling a little low lately, honestly, at times. And I stopped eating gluten because of issues and hormonal stuff. So everything's on a physiological level is getting checked out currently.
Yeah.
And it does feel like I feel it on a physiological level, the lowness.
Yeah. I mean, it seems that way externally.
Yeah. So it could all be related.
Yeah.
I am, you know, working with parts, inner child parts, etc. It's interesting because the thing that's been helping a lot is I've been feeling very motivated spring cleaning wise.
Yeah.
Very motivated. It feels like I really want to do that. And I have been doing that.
It feels like it and it
is. And then I do it. And I don't think I'm alone in it. It is spring. So I do think that's part of the energy. And I think actually a theme that's been coming up a lot lately is around compartmentalizing your life. Like, for instance, just like in human design, one of the directives is if you're feeling, let's say, stuck in your business area, what you're supposed to, or feeling like low or whatever, you're supposed to follow whatever desires are coming up, like that you have a life design essentially, and following your desire, like our life isn't compartmentalized, like our souls.
Right. I just saw that today. I saw somebody posted something about how Martin Luther King and Malcolm X had hobbies and interests, basically.
Wow,
like
so
that they are flattened to just their activism and their, you know, but that they took joy in things that they, you know, that it wasn't just always like struggle.
Oh yeah, that's definitely coming up. I have obviously everything with this war in Palestine has been so devastating. And actually, I have been talking to various clients who are directly experiencing this in their worlds. And that's actually one of the things that comes up when I look at it energetically is like, yeah, I guess that's one of the ways that theme has been coming up is that you have to have to nurture other parts of your life or you get drained. And there is a lot of pressure from social media and from activists, in some activist circles, social justice circles, that you're not there's a lot of rhetoric about not doing it right.
Right.
Which is part of why I left Instagram, is because it felt so binary and there isn't room for nuance and everybody's ideas. That's like another way of saying that, you know, it's right. Like our lives are not binary, even enormous subjects are not, like, right. If we're going to use something personal to us, like with trans rights, for instance,
right.
Like it can feel very binary. Like there's a right and a wrong way, which
right.
Honestly, I do believe. but what it is like respecting people's rights, right? Like I feel like that is fundamentally necessary and important. Like not
yes.
being abusive. That is a binary
right and wrong.
Yeah, the situation, that's a binary that we need to listen to. And then it's like there's whole people's lives involved. And what does that mean? And like, how, especially with something as complicated as Middle East, but I'm not an expert, so we're not going to talk about that. But I have been feeling the way I've been feeling, kind of low. And my trauma response used to be to try to figure things out. And like, I should really figure the things out, especially emotionally speaking. And then I can go do the thing.
Mm.
And that's really a hypervigilant inner child part. That's like, no, you can't, we're not going to be okay unless we understand every aspect of this. And unless we understand like why we feel bad, because then it could happen again if we don't understand why we feel bad. And, yeah.
I don't relate to that even a little bit. And I didn't relate to it as recently as 30 minutes ago.
But that's a little vague for our listeners. But
yeah, I think it gives them enough information.
but the idea being that like letting that inner child part know like it's okay, I'm here, let's create safety here. And some of that creating safety is letting them know, oh, you can experience joy also.
Yeah.
You can experience joy also. And also you can do things. I know it may not sound fun to like sort through files and put them away and rip things up. But to me, it did feel like, ooh, I really want to do that. And I think that's actually an internal calling within to create more space. Like that's creating more external space. And we really do have like, we have a lot of energy, but it is limited.
Right.
So there's only so much energy that can come in when we are holding things down at the fort with the hypervigilant part at the head, you know, saying like, no, nothing can come in until we understand it. And
right.
It's like,
right.
Okay, hold my hand and we will do that. I don't mean that condescendingly, but just like, let's try our best to move forward and just feel the feelings. That's always the directive with hypervigilance, is feel the feelings underneath it instead of trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very hard for me personally. Yeah. And
that's hard for everybody. The thing about it is, and this actually comes back to social justice, is like, this does come back to what I wanted to talk about today in general, which is that you can create an inner, calmer nervous system, regulated nervous system, even when things around you are externally blowing up.
Yeah. How?
Well, there's many ways to do this, but I think the first step is knowing that that is a possibility. And these hypervigilant parts, and even let's just say, I mean, that's not a judgment, you know, we have them for a good reason. It's not just like, oh, I'm having a hissy fit, you know, we gotta calm that part down. It's like those parts are born from a real need. Like it was developed at a time in your life when you didn't have that inner support.
Right.
So it really, they don't know what it's like to experience that they can have safety with inner support, because that hasn't happened. So they assume that you have to have the external be okay.
Right. Right.
And to use extreme examples that I really have no business using, but I'm going to use anyway, someone like Nelson Mandela was, you know, but we've read about how he was able to maintain peace while being held in prison for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So that's an extreme example. I don't expect us to be Nelson Mandela, but that's just an example of that.
Right. Like under those circumstances, if it can be done, it can be done in less extreme ones that we might be encountering.
Right. And listen, it's very extreme what's happening in the world right now. And especially if you are participating with it, if you are a college student, if you are on a college campus as a professor or something else, or, you know, and also just honestly, like existing in the world and going on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we need to have extreme boundaries. And that's another thing is like, again, the rhetoric is you are not allowed to have boundaries if you're being ethically involved. There is a line of thought that believes that.
Right, right. Like if you're not devoting all of your time to X cause.
Or even if you need to spend time off of social media.
Right.
I mean, there are other ways to absorb. Or, you know, even using the word absorb, you don't have to absorb it into your inner system to be a compassionate person. I mean, it's like the old thing, you know, from the plane, like you need to put your oxygen mask on first before you help others.
Yeah.
You can't help others if you are drained.
Right.
And as I was telling a client earlier this week, if you push and push and push yourself past your own boundaries, at some point you're going to snap.
Right.
And then what? It's like either you're pacing yourself now or you're not, and then you're breaking at the end. And then are you bad because you don't have capacity?
Right.
You know, so one of the ways to do that, to have a calmer nervous system, you have to do it when the world around you is crazy, whether that's emotionally speaking or, you know, in the world. You have to have awareness and respect for your pace. I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago that I referred to my old newsletter I wrote where I said your pace is your peace. Right.
Yeah.
That is a way. Your nervous system is your pace. Like you have to listen to your pace and respect it. And if you go over it, then it's about what are your particular things that bring you back into regulation. So they can be anything from journaling to moving your body to maybe all the things, to drinking lots of water, to making sure your aura. This is really big. If you are out amongst people that are challenging for you, please make sure your aura is closed. Just have that intention that you are shut. And that doesn't mean you're shut down. It just means your aura is closed.
It's like your first line of defense.
Yeah, exactly. If you're letting everybody in, you can't regulate. You just can't.
Right.
And you can vacuum out energy that isn't yours by imagining a vacuum at the bottom of your grounding cord, which is attached to your first chakra. So it goes from your base of your spine to the center of the earth. Vacuum out what isn't yours. Fill up with light. You're allowed to, and in fact, need to do things to nurture yourself.
Is the grounding meditation one of the things people get when they sign up for your newsletter?
That's right. You're a really good promo person for me.
Hype man?
Yeah.
That was a genuine question.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is especially for people who have not done it before or not used to doing it themselves, that meditation is really great. And it is a very powerful, like level one tool that anyone can access.
Yeah, it's very, very helpful to have grounding methods that help you come back to center.
Yeah.
I did say in my energy report last week in my newsletter, you can subscribe on Substack, that this month was supposed to be, well, what I felt was that it was like a time of planting seeds. It felt light and, you know, so I do feel like that energy is available. Even when I've been feeling kind of low, I have been able to access. I've been kind of actually marveling at that, like, oh, look, I'm feeling like I'm able to take in this lightness. And I'm, you know, I think for a lot of people, I'm not saying that I am in a depression, but I think that's part of why people are sometimes surprised when they hear people are depressed, because it isn't unless you're severely, like you can't get out of bed. A lot of times people can present like you can experience other things other than that one note.
Right. Yeah. And there's a perception of depression as extreme sadness.
Yeah.
Which it is not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, it's often just like a lack of enjoyment or a lack of motivation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a side note. But it actually is kind of part of the same thing that, like, there's many layers to being a human. We often expect, that's another thing, is a lot of times if I'm talking to someone with a narcissistic family member, they are like, yeah, but they do this, this, and this. And I do the same thing with my mom. Like, I'll remember things. Well, she did this nice thing that one time, or like, she was often doing, like, she always would, whatever, like,
feed stray cats.
Definitely not. She did not do that.
No, I just.
But actually, speaking random of cats, narcissist. That is a good point. She did. We moved many, many times, and we always moved with our cats. Like, she never abandoned our cats.
Yeah.
And that was always a priority. So it is like people contain multitudes, and you contain multitudes, and allowing yourself to bring in. Oh, actually, this was part of the May Energy Report, was this idea of bringing in all of the other, like, not looking down into your situation, but looking up to see a wider perspective as much as possible. Even feeling, even if that alone is a painful experience, like taking in your view and feeling the feelings coming in, being aware of your body, having an awareness of all of that.
Yeah, I feel like I keep mentioning this, but the book, The Open Focus Mind, one of the exercises that it leads you through is like basically zooming out and going from seeing like yourself, your situation, like the things closest to you, and zooming out while keeping yourself in the picture, like seeing yourself as part of your house, like in the space that is your house, in the space that is your neighborhood and your state, and and the context. Like, I actually have used that, like, when I get, you know, like, super annoyed with, like, because things aren't going right at work or whatever, and I'll go on a walk and, like, just try to shift my perspective that way. Like, literally just imagining the visual of it is extremely helpful.
Yeah, it's like when you go on a plane and you look down, you know, at the world, and you think, like, oh, wow. It helps with perspective to be like, boy, it's just all, there's so much more happening than just your tiny little situation. And it's so, this is one of the hard parts about being human, is like, it is easy to get myopic about how you're feeling and thinking. So that's a way to regulate, is to zoom out. That's one way to regulate. And that there is more going on than just that little. And that's not the situation. That's not to, like, spiritually bypass or say you shouldn't feel anything. In fact, in some ways, it's making you feel it more, because you are moving out of an inner child part that's maybe wanting to be in your head and moving into your whole body, your feelings, so that it can process and move through you. It gets stuck when you're merged with an inner child part that is overthinking.
Yeah.
So that is one way to regulate. And then the other thing I want to say is, I've been thinking a lot about human design lately and all these different ways that basically just how we can, I mean, I guess the human design part isn't so important, but just like how we can identify as things, like identify as your job or your relationship or something you're good at.
So, like, if my job isn't going well, I am not doing well.
Or if your relationship isn't going well, then you're not doing well. Or if, like, you are, I don't know, an artist and you're having a writer's block.
Right.
And then you're bad. Or if you haven't you aren't being productive enough, because actually your body wants to rest and your body wants to, like, sit outside and stare at the clouds. then you're bad. And so that, it's really hard to regulate when you're, or even, again, to come back to social justice, like, if you're identifying as someone who is good, let's say, like, I'm a good person who's fighting the fight, but then you don't want to, like, you need to rest.
Right.
Then suddenly you're bad.
Yeah.
So I just want to bring that in also, as, like, we are fluid people. Our identity is not any of these egoic things. I mean, they can be fun, you know, if you like your job or if you like writing and you're a writer, or, you know, those can be enjoyable things, but we tend to want to lock them into place because it's certain and the brain loves certainty.
Right.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
But
it sure does.
Yeah. And because it feels safer, even though it doesn't, that's the biggest lie of all. It feels safe to know what's certain, but actually a lot of times what is certain is being in situations that are not serving you.
Yeah.
But you are used to them. You know, like I'm talking about like bad jobs, bad marriages, whatever.
Right, right.
And it's scary to think of, well, but what if I am not in this anymore? Or what if I'm not a writer? What if I'm a writer, but I don't want to write? Or like,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I think a good way to calm your nervous system is to come into, again, it really is the zooming out of the totality. Like, you are, I believe, a soul in a physical body. And that soul is all-encompassing. I believe it's made of love. And connecting to all of that is not limiting. I mean, it's the opposite of limiting. It's what's the opposite of that?
Unlimiting.
Right. But it's
expansive.
It's
empowering.
I'm trying to think of going on and on and on, but there's a word for it that's eluding me right now. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But our soul goes on and on and on. There's no limits to it. So if you want to identify something because it feels good, then great. But also knowing that that's just a fractal of your entire self. It's infinite. That was the word I was looking for. Infinite. Your soul is infinite. It contains all the multitudes, you know, and it's actually connected to everything on earth.
Yeah.
So, and beyond, not just earth. I said earth, but beyond.
Yeah. It's infinite.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anywho, and I do feel like this is the thing, almost the paradox about what I was feeling about May, the month of May, is this feeling of like, I could feel so potently this energy of like promise, and really feels like spring awakening. That part is happening and real. And like, I really feel that in the air. And we're also, you know, these multifaceted humans that are feeling other things as well. So like, yeah, that's really the directive. I'm also feeling into like planting seeds, like truly grounding into the whole totality of your experience. I mean, that's a big directive, but as much as you can. Okay. So, I hope that was helpful. I'm going to read in a minute from the Prairie Majesty Oracle. And I'll just say, if you'd like to subscribe to my Substack.
But it's never too late.
Never too late. Also, if you want to be a paid member, you get everything that I've offered paid members, meditations, classes, PDFs, all that kind of thing is available to you. So you can go to natashalevenger.substack.com. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. You can also go to natashalevenger.com. And there's a prompt the first time you go, or you can go to natashalevenger.com/signup. Any of those places will get it done.
You also get 3 meditations, I think, when you sign up.
Yeah, including the grounding meditation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, not when you sign up. Oh, well, you get it if you sign up. I meant you get 3 meditations when you sign up for free, even for free. You get the chakra meditation.
Yeah. I thought I asked you if that was one of the ones that you get.
Oh, when sorry. You sign up. I thought you meant one of the ones for the paid members. No, that was a paid offering.
Well, even more reason
to join up. But yeah, Substack's the best way to get the free materials and hear. But if you'd like a session with me or other offerings, you can go to natashalevenger.com.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to read from Prairie Majesty Oracle.
I picked that deck today.
You sure did.
And I picked it because I keep seeing this colony of prairie dogs at a certain intersection in our town. And they are so adorable. Oh, that's why I picked it.
That's really cute. And you recently saw a bunch of llamas.
Yes, although that did not factor into
my picking. No, I'm just saying that was pretty wild.
Yeah. Not wild llamas. The
no, I'm prairie saying dogs that were was wild. Wild. You saw them.
Yeah, no, no, no. No, I knew. Okay. I was just clarifying that llamas don't roam free in Colorado.
No, but we do love it here, and there's so many cute little bunnies around with their little white cottontails jumping around people's yard.
Freaking out the dogs.
They're so cute. Okay, I pick. Wow. How can I go higher? Bobcat.
Wow.
And the directive is climb. That's so interesting. Mm. Everything is energy, all of us, from humans to fauna to flora and elements operate at a natural frequency. Did you know you can choose to elevate yours? Oh my God. Can I tell you, actually, this is what I was trying to remember from the quantum physics.
Oh, really?
Thing. Yes.
Oh, wild.
Wow. He was saying that at some point in our development, like as human beings, that if like we keep going and everything's okay, he didn't say that.
You mean as a species?
Yes. That I think this is what he meant. But anyway, he was saying that you can look at an herb or you can evolve yourself, because I believe this. Like you could, for instance, look at an herb and absorb the qualities of it that you want to absorb, like the healing elements. You can bring that energetically into your body. It just feels to me like you can elevate your frequency to what you want it to be. This can take many forms and manifest differently depending on the circumstance you're in. Bobcat's catch-all advice, I like that he has advice, is pretty simple on its face. Go higher. And by the way, in my newsletter about this, I literally said, look up.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it on the podcast. Yeah.
He easily climbs trees for any number of reasons that might hold significance for you today. From the vantage point of a branch, he can attain a better lookout, hunting advantage, safety, or rest. Getting there, however, requires a choice. Extend your claws and go up, up, up. Bobcat's recommendation may be to actively expand your intake of the issue on your mind. Oh my God. You might need to see things from a higher place, through the lens of your spirit self, to enlighten your approach. Strengthening this ability by practice, whether through meditation or quiet reflection, will serve you well and become a reliable tool in making decisions. Other times, Bobcat may be signaling a need to retreat. In some situations, disengaging is the best way to shift your energy.
Come on.
Remaining in your current circumstance may be harmful, or maybe it's just not yours to live through or fix.
Wow.
Regardless, consider taking the high road and removing yourself altogether. Once ensconced in your new post, take a minute to survey the landscape and chill. You may want to ask Redtail Hawk to help you recognize when, how, and where to dive back in. Mm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I was remiss in saying another way to regulate is to ask your higher self and to what would you have me do? Or like, what advice do you have for me right now? That's a really helpful. And even if you're like in a place with your intuition where you're doubting yourself, just do it anyway. And like, if it doesn't matter, you know, if you're
just shut up and exactly. Just do it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, but for real, it's like, I think that sometimes people are like, well, I might be making that up. Okay. So let's just say you're making it up. Who cares? Does it make you feel better? Does that advice help? Then just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And that will help you to build up that practice of like trusting another, even if you believe you're asking a higher part of your consciousness and not your higher self in a spiritual woo way.
Yeah. Or even if it's just like you think you're like, if it's just a method to access your subconscious and yeah, it's exactly. All you who, yeah, who cares? Yeah. Like just, yeah.
Yeah.
Why, it will be, why if limit
it makes
yourself?
You feel, exactly. If it makes you feel better, then do it. You deserve that.
This is the same argument I make for heroin.
For heroin?
Mm.
Yeah,
if it exactly. Makes you feel better,
do it.
There's no come downside.
100%. Okay. He's joking.
Same thing.
Just to make sure.
I am. Yes.
All right. We love you all. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, and if you've made it this far and haven't written us a little review, maybe add some stars, write a couple sentences. Wow, it makes a difference, and we would be so grateful and appreciative. And shout out to the Czech Republic, where we are charting for some reason. So,
yeah, 208.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.